We certainly are grateful that Christ went to the cross and was killed there to pay the price for our sins. And we are grateful indeed that He arose, as we've just sang. We're grateful for the promises that He's made to us. The fact that He arose showed He indeed was God. In John, the 14th chapter, he told His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where You are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Indeed, one day He is coming. It will be a glorious day. But it's only going to be a glorious day for those that are ready, those that have made the preparations. If you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus speaks this parable to prepare us for that great day. Matthew 25th chapter, beginning in verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" And Jesus says this, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Indeed, it will be a glorious day. But we must be prepared. We must do everything that is necessary. We see two groups of people, ones that made the proper preparations. They indeed were ready. And then we see the ones that didn't, thinking, "Oh, we're going to have plenty of time and everything will be all right." Do you know people like that, that think about that with the return of Christ? They think, "Oh, everything's going to be fine. We're just going to be ready to go." Or have you made the preparations that are necessary? Indeed, the Son of Man will come out of the sky. Indeed, He will claim the church as His holy bride. Only those that are ready are going to be the ones who are allowed to enter in. For the rest, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, as it says in Matthew 24, verse 51. As we extend the Lord's invitation tonight, the thought is, with the words that we have studied tonight, with the songs that we have sang, that are you going to be prepared? We don't know the time, but we do know what will happen if you are not prepared. First verse that Tom read this evening, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, in 2 Thessalonians. What will happen if you're not baptized? It says it right there. You'll be cast out. Luke 11, verse 28 says, and more blessed than that are blessed are those, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In order to be prepared for that great, glorious day, we must learn the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So we must study it. We must be prepared for it. And if you don't know what the word of God is, ask someone. I'll be happy to sit down and teach you. Jerry will be happy. Cookie will be happy. Tom will be happy. Everyone here. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. To be able to receive that eternal reward, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must believe that His words are true. We must be obedient to do His commandments. Acts 3 and verse 19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. To repent means to turn away, to change your ways. To no longer think, well, what do I think is right? What does God know is right for me? To confess His name. To boldly proclaim that you're going to follow the Son of God. Matthew 10, verse 32, therefore whoever confesses Me before men, him I will also confess before My Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies Me before men, him I will also deny before My Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10, verse 33. You know, perhaps maybe some of you, and as we live more in the modern age with Facebook and things like that, you'll see someone post a picture of Jesus and said, you know, you better forward this on or you've denied Him before men. You know, I don't think if we share a picture on the internet, that's not what Jesus was talking about. How do we confess Him before men? It's more than just speaking, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, great, even the demons believe. And they tremble. It's more to it than that. It is doing His will. And the will of the Lord is to be baptized in water for salvation. Mark 16 verse 16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Just like the foolish virgins didn't think they needed to take extra oil, there's foolish virgins in our world that think you don't need to be baptized. And when you try to teach them and say, look, the Bible says here that you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. And they'll come right out and say, well, I don't believe that. They don't consider the second half of Mark 16, verse 16. What does it say? It says, he who does not believe will be condemned. What does it say? Well, I don't believe in baptism. What does it say about someone who doesn't believe? They are condemned. And the promise to us. You know, the foolish virgins got a good start. They had oil. But they didn't have the extra oil that they needed for the long term, for the long haul. Revelation 2 and verse 10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know, just being baptized into water to be added to the church, having your sins washed away, is simply not enough. Yes, that's what baptism is, what puts us into Christ. It's what makes us heirs to the promise of His great and glorious day. But what keeps us in Christ is doing His commandments and fulfilling them. So as we close this evening and think about the Lord's invitation, it's always open. It's not when the preacher says, let's stand and sing. You can call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. If you said you want to be baptized, guess what? I'll meet you up here. Carl will too. We'll do it. If you said it in the middle of the sermon, we'll stop preaching and baptize you, okay? If you're ready, make no delay. Make no delay tonight. If you have not put on your Lord in baptism, do so this evening, so that you will be ready for that great, glorious day. If you're not walking in righteousness in the way that you should, George this morning talked about some things he struggled with and was ashamed of, wanted to make it right before his brothers and sisters in Christ. And George, we love you. We can do that for you. We can pray for you this evening. Whatever your need is, would you come forward while we stand and sing? 430, shall we?